This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the message of God's coming kingdom. Kingdom Ministries was created to provide an avenue to expound on the Word of God and to share God's love in a simple and practical way. And through The Voice of Tomorrow, we hope that you are learning lessons of life, learning the scriptures in a new and fascinating way, learning to be able to read and study the scriptures on your own. I want you to be able to become a student of the Word of God, to be able to open your Bible, to know what you believe, to know why you believe it. In the book of Acts in chapter 17, the Apostle Paul told Timothy and told the church at Ephesus that as they needed to continue to work and pray, he is in that 17th chapter where he finally gets to a city called Berea on one of his missionary journeys. And when he got to this city of Berea, he found that they were more noble than people that had been in the previous city of Thessalonica. They studied the scriptures to see if those things were indeed true, the things that he was saying. They didn't just take his word for it. And in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul tells this disciple of his, he calls him a son in the faith, he tells Timothy to study the scriptures, to study the word of God, to study to show himself approved unto God, to be a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's important that you and I study the scriptures on a regular basis and make it a part of our daily life. I'd like to have you get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil. You can follow along in your Bible, or you can simply write the verses down and we'll go back and you can go back and study it and re-examine these passages again. We talked about the creation of man last week, and today I want to focus on part of chapter 2 and get into chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. When God created man, he put him in a garden. God created man in his own image, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living soul. And God put man in the Garden of Eden, and Genesis chapter 2 discusses where this, about the Garden of Eden and where it was. And when God put him in the garden, God made a command and said to the man, he put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it, and commanded him, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. But God said, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him. And we realize then, as you go and read the rest of part of chapter 2 here, in verse 19, 20, and that God brought animals to the man to name them. He brought the birds of the sky, and whatever man would call them, that was the name. God gave names to the cattle and the beasts of the field. And yet, the end of verse 20 of chapter 2, the scripture says, but for Adam there was not found a suitable helper for him. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. He slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And out of that rib, verse 22, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She's part of me. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Verse 24. This is the very beginning, the creation of Adam and Eve. They were the names that were given to the first two people that God created. The first two people that were created, Adam created in the image of God, Eve fashioned from the rib of Adam in the similar form of Adam, comes to the man and he said, "This is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. She'll be called woman." And it's man and woman for the first, for this first marriage, the uniting together of bringing these two individuals together. And verse 24, "For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife to become one flesh." He is not joined to another woman, a woman to woman or man to man. That's not how God created it. And you may hear a lot of things on TV. You're going to hear a lot on other radio stations. You're going to hear a lot in, read a lot about it in newspapers. But homosexuality is not an acceptable form of a lifestyle according to the creator of the universe, God Almighty. God created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. He did not create Madam and Eve. We find here God created a man and a woman. And so you see that the Bible clearly talks about the creation of man and woman, and it is a man and a woman which is the foundation for two people. And God put them in the garden to tend the garden. They were given something to do. They were given, as we found in Genesis chapter 2, that God put man in the garden to keep it and to cultivate it. Verse 15, to take care of it. And he said you could eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You should not eat of that tree, for in the day you eat of that tree, you will die. Now, one of the things that God did when he created Adam and Eve is he created them with free will, the ability to make choices on their own. This is very, very vital to understand what has happened since then. Man was created by God. Man was not created as a robot with no choice of his own, but had to do exactly as he said. No, that's not the way it was. God created man with free will, with the ability to choose, and he put him in the garden to take care of it. He provided a suitable helpmate for him. Now, that's important to realize. It was a suitable helpmate. If you look at back in chapter 2, at the creation, just before the creation of Eve, in verse 18, when the Lord God said, "It was not good for the man to be alone, I'll make him a suitable helpmate," the next thing he does is bring the animals to Adam. He brings the animals to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. And after naming all the creatures that God had made, God still sees there is no suitable helper for him. It's important that when he created the woman, he made a suitable helper for him. The woman is suitable for the man. Another way of expressing it is the woman is a completer. The man completes the woman completes the man. They are to complement one another. And so, as I have shared in over years when I've pastored and preached on this particular topic, man and woman need to complement each other. They need to be each other's cheering section. God created the woman for the man. God created the woman for the man, but God did not create the woman to be over the man, did not create the man to be over the woman, but they're to be side by side. And I emphasize this in weddings that I perform, that it was the rib closest to the heart. God did not create the woman to be over him or to be under him, but to be next to him, to be a complement, to be suitable for him, and they're to be complementary to each other. They're to be individuals that will assist one another. And life is good with a spouse, and that spouse is to be for life. Now, I realize that a divorce is very rampant, and A lot of the time today, we find people just moving in together. That, in my humble opinion from Scripture, that's not suitable to God. There needs to be a marriage covenant. God created the man and the woman and brought them together to become one flesh. And I believe that it is important that this relationship, it's a covenant relationship. When you say vows before God, you're making a promise to God that you would take care of this individual. It's not only the promise to the spouse, to the wife makes to the husband and husband to the wife, but these are promises that are being made to God that you're going to stay with this individual. And the scripture in Matthew chapter 19, as Jesus is being tested by the Jewish leaders about marriage, he mentions that it was for life. He said, what man, God has joined together, man should not put asunder. Man should not separate. Marriage is for life. And it's one man, one woman for one lifetime. And if death suddenly separates the couple, why then the man is free to marry. But it's important to realize it's one man, one woman for lifetime. That's God's ultimate plan. Now, we live in a sinful world, and we have to deal with issues the way when they come up, and divorce is not an unforgivable sin, but it's not God's desire either. And so the church needs to understand the needs that man has in his sinfulness and show him the godly ways of living. And I trust that you will talk to your pastor when it comes to situations that you have, that you will not just head quickly when a problem occurs in your marriage, head to the world's court system, but go to the church and see how the pastor can help you relate to the situation and keep couples together, for God's ultimate desire is one woman, one man for life. May God bless you as you continue to study the Word of God, and we're going to get into chapter 3 for next week and study about the Garden of Eden, further into the Garden of Eden and the temptation. So may God bless you as you continue to become a student of His Word.